Well, good morning, Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're here today. I want to welcome those who are watching online. Especially, I want to say hi to those who are visiting us or watching us from the square in Montrose. And most of you know we have a group of people that get together at a retirement center out there, and they all grab together, probably between 10 and 15, get together, and they just hang out and watch it together. So welcome. We're glad that you're joining us today. We're going to be in the second week of our Restored series. And I'm excited about this series, and it kind of gained a little traction last week. I didn't know where this series was going to go and how people would respond to it, and we were pretty excited about how people responded last week. I want you to know that last week we talked about empty wells. People go through seasons of life where they are broken, where they are struggling, where they have heartache. And as they try to deal with it, as they try to fix it themselves, they often run to what we called last week empty wells. And so some of us, we run to ourselves to fix it. Some of us run to other people to fix it. Some of us run to things of this world to try to fix that brokenness that's going on within our hearts. And sometimes people even use religion to try to fix it. What's interesting to me is that there's times that we have a tendency to run to ourselves because we say if we can make a better version of us, then everything's gonna be okay. Or if we can find someone else, a spouse, a friend, someone online, if we can find somebody else, then they're going to help us fix our broken heart. Some people run to the refrigerator. Some people run to the TV. Some people run to the liquor store and say this, if I can find something in this world, it's going to fix my brokenness. Other people run to religion and say, man, if I can go over enough hurdles in life and go through enough hoops in life, then somehow I will find acceptance with God. If I can put enough checks in the box, then God's going to be pleased with me and I'll be okay, right? And he'll fix it because I have approval from him because I've done all the right things as I've run this obstacle course called religion. Here's the problem. Most of us who have run to those empty wells realize that for a season, it will help numb the pain. It will help fix some of the issues in our life. But all it takes is a comment from someone else, a goal that is not reached, a few pounds that you put on, and before you know it, we begin to spiral out of control, and we have to deal with the brokenness that was never really ever fixed before. Do you know someone? Do you know someone who's gone through a season of brokenness, and you've watched them run to an empty well, only to come back, still feeling empty, still feeling broken, even sometimes feeling used? I know that when I was a youth pastor, you'd watch kids do the things. And we had a couple girls through my years of youth ministry that made some unfortunate choices in their life that tarnished their reputation. Somehow they didn't feel like they were enough and they were inadequate. And so they would run to other people to try to fix that brokenness in their heart. And in their inadequacy, they would look to someone else. And for a moment, they would look to you and say, oh, you're special. I need you. And those relationships would become physical very quick. And as they walk through this physical relationship, sometimes even feeling regret, they knew that in the moment they had what they needed. Their broken heart was fixed. Someone loves me. I no longer feel inadequate. But you know how the story ends, right? A week later, a couple of weeks later, maybe a couple months later, that person broke up with them. Because it was an empty well, and they came back to the place of feeling inadequate, feeling broken, feeling needy. They felt regret for what they had done. They really were disappointed in themselves for the choices they had made. But what happens is this. When we are broken, we return to that broken, the things that we run to, those empty wells, and they would return back to a relationship. Some guy would pay attention to them again, and all of a sudden they would start to feel filled up. And they'd walk down the same road again. only to end up disappointed. You know, people would call these girls names. They would make judgments about them. But I want you to know this, it broke my heart. You know why? Because these were girls who were broken in spirit and broken of heart. They just ran to the wrong well. What well do you run to? What is your instinct in the very beginning when you feel broken? Do you sit there and say, I'm going to fix it myself. I'm in control. I am the captain of this ship. I will make a better version of me. I'll become bigger, stronger. We're like the $6 million man, right? I will make a better version of myself and we'll be okay. The problem is our heart's still broken. We've only masked the problem. Do you run to others, things of this world, or do you run to religion? Last week we said this. If you're looking for those things to fix our broken heart, we are running to empty wells. There is only one who can restore our souls. Psalms chapter 23 says this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is God who literally steps into our lives and begins to fix that which is broken. He brings calm to chaos. He is our strength in weakness. He is our peace that is beyond other people's comprehension. Things come and go, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know this. That is not a cliche. That is reality. If you are broken this morning, can I encourage you not to run to empty wells, but to run to Him? When we trust in those wells, they will fail us. And when they fail us, we will begin to shift blame for our depression, our lust, our loneliness, our bad marriages, our friendships. And we'll blame it on other people. We'll blame it on the wells. And here is what I want you to walk away with today. Here's the real issue. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And what I mean by that is the issue that you're dealing with, it's not the ice cream's fault, right? If you're trying to use it as a salve to heal your wound, the ice cream is not the problem. If you're looking to your spouse to fix something in you and they're not doing an adequate job, let me tell you what, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. It's not what happened to you as a child. And you say, because of what happened when I was growing up, it's everyone else's fault. It's a parent. It's a bully at school. It's somebody else's fault. No! The heart of the problem is the problem with our heart. I want you to understand that there is something going on inside of us internally. And we can sit outside and blame all the external stuff we want. But the reality is this. The struggles that we have come from within. It's something deep from within. It's not external. It is internal. You look at things in life where people struggle with bullies, bad parents, whatever, when they were growing up. How is it that some people go through situations, very similar circumstances, and there are those who live above those circumstances, and they use it as a platform to live victoriously. And other people go through the exact same situation, and they spend their lives being the victim. Why? Because the heart of the problem is the problem of our heart. It's not external, it's internal. Why is it that people who are diagnosed with an illness that can radically change their life, as they're living in the midst of this diagnosis, there are those who find joy and hope and peace in the middle of that situation, and there are others who face those situations and they become bitter and angry, and the disease affects them way more than what's going to happen to them physically. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. I want to read this to you. Well, it's easy to blame a teacher, a parent, or even God for what is happening to us. Ultimately, we control how we think, behave, and respond to the trials and adversities of life. Have you spent your life shifting blame and saying it's everyone else's fault? It's an external issue. They did it to me. How easy, how comforting is it to blame someone else for us? We can justify what we say. We can justify our behavior. We can pretty much justify anything that we do if we can just shift blame and place it on someone else. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. So I want you to think with me back to the garden. What did Adam and Eve do? As soon as they got caught, you're like, God says, what did you do? Adam stepped back and blamed two people. He blamed his wife, said, man, she did it. But in a roundabout way, he blamed God. I know you don't ever blame God for your life. But he blamed God and said, the woman you gave me. How comforting to look to God and say, this is not my fault. Someone else made me do it. And before we're too hard on Adam, what happened with Eve? What did she do? She did the exact same thing. She looked and said, the devil made me do it. I don't have to take responsibility. I'm free from my actions, my choices, my words. I'm free from those things. Why are we so reluctant to take responsibility for the places that we find ourselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally? Why are we so reluctant to say, you know what, maybe I need to look at the heart instead of blaming someone else for what's going on in my life? If you didn't do that, I'd be okay. If you didn't say that, I'd be okay. If I had different parents, then I'd be okay. If I grew up in a different school system, then I'd be okay. If I had a different job, then I'd be okay. If something externally changed, then somehow I'm okay. And I want you to know, and I'm going to say it over and over again, the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. And while external things don't help, I want you to know that we have a choice in how we respond to the situations we face in life. Bad things happen to all kinds of people, and we all make the choice of what we're going to do with those situations. When I blame others, I never have to take responsibility for how I feel or behave. People are to blame for my lack of joy, my less than desirable attitude, or my outburst. While we can't control other people, we can control our response to what happens in life. We are the ones who choose to forgive those who have broken us, those who have hurt us. We make the decision whether we're going to forgive them or not. We make the decision whether we're going to live through our trials and adversity and become better, or we make the decision whether we're going to become bitter. We are the ones who make the decision in life that whether we're going to be defined by God or whether we're going to be defined by the words and actions of other people. We are the ones who make the decision whether we're going to love our enemies or we're going to be bitter and hateful towards them and we're going to let it erode away at our peace. Do you understand where I'm going here? Yes, external things happen all the time. We all struggle with situations in our life. But the reality is this. What am I doing with it? Where is my heart? In my brokenness, am I looking inward and saying, God, in spite of everything that's happening externally to me, on the inside, I want to please you in everything that I think, say, and do. God, bring healing to my brokenness. Help me to respond as you would respond. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus deals directly with this topic. And he says this, you know what the problem is? The problem is sin. Sin makes life messy. It just makes things messy. Sin feeds our insecurity. Sin feeds our lust. Sin feeds our lying tongues. Sin feeds anything that is in opposition to the character of God. And the religious establishment of that day stepped back and said this, we know we have a problem, and I think we know what it is. Here's the problem. It's all the things that happen on the outside. And so what did they come up with? All kinds of rules and regulations. They came up with all kinds of dietary restrictions. You have to wash your hands in certain ways. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. And they kept jamming it down their throat and saying, no, no, forget looking at your heart. Forget looking at your brokenness. Just continue to look at external forces and say, just fix it. And this is how Jesus responded. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them, whether it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods to be clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. That food that I ate is what made me be who I am today. That parent that I had is what made me who I am today. The choices that I'm making today are a reflection of my external environment. And what Jesus came back and said, no, wait, back up a bit. What comes in from the outside isn't what defiles you. It's what's in your heart. Bad things happen to everyone, but what are you going to do with it? And it comes down to a matter of the heart. And when we are brokenhearted, we run to the empty wells and try to fix it. And when it fails, we become frustrated and disappointed. Why aren't you helping me fix it? And Jesus says this. He steps back and says this. I restoreth your soul. I am the one who heals your broken heart. I'm the one who will mend it. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. These people knew they were unclean. Food and drink passed through their body, but what made the soul unclean was already in them. I want to restate this. The activity you participate in that you feel ashamed of is not what has made you unclean. You were unclean, so you did that activity. I want you to focus on that. The activity that you participated in that you feel ashamed of is not what has made you unclean. You are unclean, so you did that activity. What does James chapter 1 say? When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You know what this verse tells me? I don't need any help at all to sin. I don't need any help at all. I can start with a look of the eyes, a thought in the head. And I could choose whether to walk away from that or continue down that path. And I could start concocting these plans in my head. And eventually, if we think about it long enough, if we dwell on it, if we start putting plans together, before you know it, we're going to do it. And then we step back and say, this is not my fault. If I had different parents, if I had a different job, if I had something different in my life, this never would have happened. It's their fault. God said, man, that's not the way it goes. When somebody treated you poorly, you could have run with that thought or not. When you saw something you shouldn't have seen, you could have decided whether you're going to run with that thought or not. The choice is up to us. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Secondly, you don't do sinful acts to make yourself a sinner. You are a sinner, so you do sinful acts. Even though we can make a better version of ourselves, we can make better decisions, we can get better friends, if you still have a heart problem, we will continue to slip back into the problems that we've always had. What did Paul say in Romans? For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Even the Apostle Paul said, what is the problem? I want to do this stuff and I don't do it. I know I should do and I don't do it. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. He came back and said, this is not an external problem. This is a problem of my heart. I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to be faithful. People say, I have an anger issue. I have a lust issue. I have an issue with laziness. I have a problem with a lying tongue. No, we have a problem with the heart. And that just flows out of our problem with the heart. There really isn't an anger issue. It's a heart issue. And it just magnifies itself in different ways in all of our lives. Matt Chandler said, you know, sometimes motivation, we go, man, I'm just going to do a better job. I'm going to work harder. And motivation doesn't always work. And this is what he said. Whatever reigns and rules in your heart will always overflow out of your heart into your actions and into your attitudes. Basically, what's going on will flow out of your heart. No one can make us think evil thoughts. No one can make us think bitter thoughts. People may do horrendous things to us, but we are the only ones who can really truly defile our own souls. We are the only ones who can corrupt our souls. People at work, they blame organizations, they blame bosses. And they say, man, if I had a better, I wouldn't be lazy. I would work harder. What does the Bible say? We do our work heartily unto God, not unto man. It's the issue of the heart. Sometimes we see things that we shouldn't see, and we can either choose to run away from that or run towards that. We can either decide to ignore what we saw or we can run with the fantasies in our head. We can try to become a better form of ourselves, but we are imperfect people. And when we go to empty wells, we'll continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. But I want you to know this. It is God who gives us peace beyond other people's understanding. It is God who gives us an abundant life in the midst of a fallen and broken world. It is God who helps us overcome selfishness and restores broken relationships. It is God who releases us from the bondage of sin. It is God who takes the orphan and makes him a child of the king. It is God who restores our soul. So, what are you guys running to today? If you sat in our small groups this past week and I asked you this question, what is it that you have a tendency to run to? What would it be? Some of you have been living with disappointment for a long time. Some of you have been living with the guilt and shame of past decisions. Some of you have had horrible environments that you've grown up in. Some of you are in a horrible environment right now. What are you running to fix your broken heart? Psalm 23 says, he restoreth our soul and he puts us back on the path of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. The third thing I want to talk about today is this. Let's go to the next slide. We'll just skip through these verses. Only Jesus solves the problem of the heart. Let's look at the verses after this. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? In Christ, brokenness and empty promises are replaced with hope and with freedom. Folks, I want you to know that as you sit here today, all of us, we can just agree, every one of us have had bad things happen to us. I'm pretty sure every one of us at some point in our life have lived with the disappointment of what my life has become. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I chose for myself. I'm sure if we're all honest with each other, there's times that we pointed at other people and other circumstances and situations and said, if it wasn't for them, then I'd be okay. And here you sit with a broken heart and wonder, is this really what it's all about? He restores our soul. He puts us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The gospel changes everything. No one's life will ever be perfect, but if he rules and reigns in our heart, we will face the difficulties of life in a way that not only pleases him, but brings honor and glory to the cause. If you run to yourself, you have to know this. It's not what you do, it's what he did. If he has transformed you through the cross, through the gospel message, and he has extended his grace to you and his forgiveness to you and his mercy to you, and he loves you with every part of his being, I want you to know that he has given you everything that you need to find joy and abundant life, to find peace in all circumstances, to respond in a way that honors him. He's given you everything you need. It's not about I, it's about him. Guys, if he's transformed you and you're running to yourself, he's already given you everything you need to restore your soul and to put you back on the paths of righteousness. If you're running to others and you're saying, but man, I just need to be validated by people. I need to find their approval and their acceptance. And when we don't get their approval and acceptance, before you know it, we become snarky. We become frustrated. We lash out. We do all kinds of things. Why? Because I want approval. Listen to me. The gospel changes all that. He says that you're valuable and you mean so much to him that he literally gave his son to die on a cross. He was not worthy of death on a cross, but he said, you matter to me. I value you so much that I gave up my son and he suffered and died so that you could be set free from the bondage of sin. Listen to me, if we run to other people for validation, we miss the fact that our value is determined by God and God alone. If you have a tendency to run to the liquor store, to TV, to the refrigerator and say, man, this is just going to help me, calm me, fix me. It's going to take me down a road that I'm going to find peace. Listen to me, the sugar rush runs away. The sugar rush doesn't last. But what God does for us is sustained. He continues to meet us at every nook and cranny of our life. Some of you who have leaned on religion and been disappointed, we talk to people so often who got sucked into this religious game, and it literally became an obstacle course. Okay, we have to do certain things. When I grew up, we had to go to Sunday school, and church in the morning, and youth group at night, and youth group on Sunday night, and prayer meeting on Wednesday night. If you had Awana, you went to Awana, and you had to go to Delphi County meetings. You had to go to youth group on Friday night when they acted. You have to. And you know what I saw? It was people running down, hitting checks in the boxes, and really lives were being transformed. It wasn't about God at all. It was about making ourselves look good in front of other people and say, oh, they're good Christians. Listen to me. God called you into relationship, and it's not based on duty. It's based on love. And when we do things for him, it's not because we have to. It's because we love him. And when we love him, we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden to us. Amen. We do it not because we have to. We do it because we want to. Do you see the difference? Religion does stuff because you have to. When you're in a relationship with God, you do it because you want to. Why? Because you are in love with him so much. And as you grow in your love with him, it transforms you. It transforms the things that we say and the things that we do. We are transformed by the gospel. Folks, you got to understand that the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And we're all on this journey together. And can I encourage you, if you are running to an empty well, stop. And seek the one who restores our soul. And he puts us back on the path of righteousness. Not for our glory, but for his glory. Does anybody struggle with this? Is there anyone in this room that wrestles with this? Can you release it and take your broken heart and say, God, here I am. Not perfect. I'm broken. And I need you. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I'm reminded of the song, the old song we would sing growing up about how I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. I need you. God, I just sense that there are people who are crying out today and saying, I need you. I need you more than ever. I'm so weary. I'm so broken. And I'm tired of trying everything else besides you. Today, I need you. Folks, as I pray, is there anyone in this room that I can pray for? And I'm not going to call you up by names. Is there anyone who says, like, man, I'm just broken, and I've run this race for so long, and I'm just worn out. I want him to restore my soul today. Can I pray for you? Is there anyone in the room that says, just, I want God to just, yeah, I want him to restore my soul. Is there anyone? Father, I thank you so much that you are a huge God who is able to see everything that is taking place in our lives and in this world. And sometimes we get so passionate about fixing our own problems that we forget to turn to you first. God, I pray that out of this, if one thing comes out of it, is that people turn to you to restore their soul. God, thank you for your patience and your love and your forgiveness. I pray that we represent you well in the days ahead. I ask this in your son's name.